Happy to welcome to the program today representatives of the Colonial Dames of Massachusetts to chat about the Dorothy Quincy Homestead's reopening for the season. So Paula Pierce and Carrie Holly are both here to tell us all about this exciting year of 2021 for the Homestead. Hi, ladies. Nice to see you both.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Really appreciate the opportunity. I know that nothing could happen at the Homestead in 2020 due to the pandemic, but we're making progress. We've started some outdoor events for this new year. So Paula, maybe if you could, before we even talk about the events and the schedule, for folks who aren't familiar with the Dorothy Quincy Homestead, give us a little history lesson if you could.
We are located at 34 Butler Road, right next to the old Central Junior High School. And the house goes back to 1686 with Edmund I being the owner. We basically focus on Edmund IV's family, and it's Dorothy's, Quincy's childhood home. She wasn't born in Quincy, she was born in Boston. And the Quincys spent their summer there at the homestead. Through the years, it has gone under different ownership. Carrie, you want to help me with this a little bit?
Sure.
Yes.
So the homestead was in the Quincy family for four generations, and it went through a number of renovations over the years. So it's really an absolutely marvelous example of colonial history. And so it starts with the 1680s, and it was added onto and converted over the years into the home that it became in the 1700s, and then finally was added on in its final chapters in the 1800s. And then the Colonial Dames of Massachusetts acquired the home in 1904. And we went into a partnership with the local government here as well. So we work with DCR. They actually own the property, and we maintain the interiors and all of the collections. So it's a really wonderful private-public partnership in terms of maintaining with nonprofits.
Yeah, I would venture to say that, you know, tens of thousands of people drive by it every day on Hancock Street and are unfamiliar with its story or with its history. So this is a great opportunity to let folks know a little bit about it and the fact that they can visit it, right?
Right. And the homestead property is open, you know, 24 hours a day. The gardens are beautiful. Even if the house isn't open, homestead isn't open, you can actually go through the gardens. They're absolutely beautiful. The roses next month are going to be absolutely beautiful. In fact, my favorite is we have an Abigail Adams rose that's in the front of the building that actually came from her birthplace. So it's kind of a special garden to look at.
Mm-hmm. There's also a really interesting, there's an herb garden, which had a lot of native plants for medicinal properties that's maintained along the kitchen side of the property. And that's really fun too. So I agree, Paula, it's really nice because the garden, obviously like any garden, changes throughout the season. And so coming every month is a great opportunity to see what's happening. We have things in bloom throughout the entire season. And it's really beautifully maintained by a master gardener.
And I'd like to give Rebecca Dinsmore credit. She has taken care of these gardens for over 40 years, and they wouldn't look as great if we didn't have her taking care of them.
That's absolutely great.
Tell us about Dorothy Quincy. Who was Dorothy Quincy, and what is her story in our nation's history?
I can jump in. Dorothy Quincy was Edmund Quincy IV's daughter, and she, as Paula said, was born in Boston, but spent her summers and a lot of time at the Quincy homestead, so she considered it her family home. And as she got older, her family actually moved out of the Quincy homestead. Paula, I think it was around 1763, but she had really fond connections with the property. But then she continued to live in Boston. They were friendly with the Hancock family, and she became really somewhat of a special pet to John Hancock's, I think it was the aunt or the mother. I can't remember now, Paula.
It was the aunt Lydia.
Her aunt, yes, Aunt Lydia. And so then she met John Hancock. They had a romance for quite long time, and then they did end up getting married. And so she became, when John Hancock became the first governor of Massachusetts, she became the first lady of Massachusetts, which is, she was the very first lady of Massachusetts. And she was an incredible person that has really set the tone for the Commonwealth.
She had a strong mark in this nation's independence. It doesn't get talked about a lot, I know, but the Hancock family obviously was very integral in creating this nation's constitution.
And we're very fortunate to have John Hancock's chariot, which we have on display when the house is open, homestead is open, and it's great tales. It's like you can think of him driving through, galloping with all his horses through the Lexington area in Concord during the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm. And we will have, I believe, Paula, the chariot is going to be open for viewing when we are opening the grounds to the public more formally this summer. So that is one thing that we can safely open, is people will be able to get into the into the area where that's stored. So that's really fun. And we have a special Dorothy Quincy celebration coming up tomorrow, May 15th. Which is going to be a lot of fun. So we're going to be focusing on Dorothy Quincy and her history.
Yes, it's a very special year for Dorothy Quincy.
Dorothy,
right?
274 years old if she was still alive,
Yes, we see some of the tours here that are scheduled for later on this year. But before we focus on those, let's switch back to tomorrow's event. Tell us what's going to be happening.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, tomorrow morning, we are going to be opening up for the first time for the season. It's going to start at 11 a.m. on Saturday, May 15th, and will be open until 2 p.m. So people can come to experience live tours, which are going to be abbreviated, shorter versions of what you would experience if you were able to go into the homestead fully. However, we'll have docents that have great knowledge and history of the homestead positioned at various stations. So there will be social distancing and mask wearing. So we will keep everything safe and make sure that people feel comfortable interacting with the public. But we're going to have people in small groups go around and experience the homestead at these various stations, and one will be focused on Dorothy Quincy and John Hancock. And so that will be really fun. And Paula has prepared something special for Dorothy Quincy's birthday. So Paula, do you want to explain what we're doing there?
We're going to have balloons, make it a little festival. I did contact Ginger Betty, and she's going to do birthday cookies for us that we're going to be asking for a $5 donation for that. Which is great. It's going to be a fun day. Unfortunately, the house is under construction inside, and the DCR is working on the foundation. So this year we can't go in the house, but we're actually going to bring boards out showing pictures of what the house looks like inside, which is absolutely great.
One of the boards is also going to feature the phase-by-phase evolution of the house over the years. So you'll see the homestead coming to life from its first 1680s original version, and then how it transformed over the years and why. And so we have some really great visuals on that. So those will be on one of the boards as well. So if people want to learn about how the homestead as it is came to be, you'll get a lot of information on that too.
Super. How large is the property, actually, the entire property that the homestead sits on?
I think it's around 2 acres.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Right.
And about 2 acres. Is that the original property that it was on, or was it larger than that? Do you know?
The house has been moved. If you go on to the first house was actually is a cobblestone on the corner of Butler Road and Hancock Street in front of the old Central Junior High School. And that's where the first homestead was for that. I think that goes back maybe to Edmund the First. And then there was another house that's right outside, right inside the fence, where we're actually gonna do an archaeological dig come October 1st. And we'd like to thank the Quincy CBC grant people who gave us a grant of $27,000 to do this dig. And hopefully we're going to find some treasures. We also got another grant by the CPC, and that was for the gardens. We did lose several, more than several boxwoods last year from disease, and we actually got $10,000 grant to replace them. We're just waiting for the right time of the year to plant the new plantings, but we're looking forward to the garden to be put back. But it's still beautiful, even without the several boxwoods missing.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we will be doing a special event to some extent when we do the archaeological dig. So we'll make sure that the public knows about that too. So they can always go to our website or our Facebook page and get information on Instagram to learn about what's happening at the homestead.
Yeah, that's great. It's, you know, it gets overshadowed, I think, by obviously by the Adams National Historical Park here mm-hmm. in Quincy. Are there any efforts or plans or hopes to kind of merge the two so the story can be told all together?
We don't have a merging plan, but I think what is exciting right now is that the city of Quincy has been putting together a larger campaign, which, because there are so many historic properties in the city. And Paula, do you want to tell a little bit about the President's Walk and how that's sure. getting connected?
The President's Walk is it's going to be a walk connecting the Adams houses, Liberty Tree. It's going to go up and do up in the hill where Abigail actually saw the ships come into Boston, and it's coming down to us. I think there's like 11 stops, and it can be done by bike or by bicycle trail for the city of Quincy. They will have a map in front of them, and they can take their camera and scan the map, and it'll go on to a Clio app, which will actually tell you a little bit about that particular historic site. Or I can't forget, it also goes to the Church of the Presidents and the cemetery across the street. Okay. So it's something that's coming by. The city's putting in all new signage for all their historical properties, so they'll all match, which is kind of a nice little take away from the whole property, kind of making things kind of uniform, that they all have at least one plaque that will cover all the properties.
Yeah, if people are interested in seeing the Clio site, it's theclio, theclio.com. And if you type in Quincy, Mass, you'll get all kinds of details on all the historic properties. So I would say that that's a really good tie-in. You get a lot of background information. It's available right now.
Oh, very good. Okay. It's kind of like Quincy's own Freedom Trail, I guess, right?
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
It's exciting because they're going to bring the city plans to do certain bicycle tours. During the season. So beware of if you see groups of 20 or 30 bikes going down Hancock Street. They're all doing, everybody's out enjoying their bikes. And
what is the, what's the Liberty Tree, Paula? I've worked in Quincy over 30 years.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe it's not Liberty Tree. I'm sorry. There's a tree that's very popular in Quincy. I'm not too sure what it is. And I should know because I'm been born and bred in Quincy. We have one sitting on it. I'm sorry. I thought it was a Liberty Tree.
Oh, okay. Not a problem. I remember the Winfield Tree was popular, but unfortunately that has gone by the wayside. Although a piece of it is at the new Central Middle School actually has a bench.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. Wow. I wish it's a tree that begins with an L. I'm sorry.
Okay. Not a problem.
And I'm not a Quincy resident, so I'm not as up to speed on the rest of the properties as Paula is, but yes. Yeah. Maybe if you go on the Clio, you can see it.
It'll find out, yeah.
It'll find out. Look at the Clio.
The Colonial Dames. Who wants to tell me a little bit about the Colonial Dames and what their organization's all about?
Sure, I can tell you about that. So I just want to make sure that we are, just to give a distinction, we are the Massachusetts chapter of the National Society of the Colonial Dames of America. So it's NSCDA. And there are actually, there's another society that is the Colonial Dames of America. They are not exactly the same. So while they have similar backgrounds, they are actually different, different societies. So we're the National Society of the Colonial Dames of America. And we were established in the late 1800s. And the mission is really, we have a number of focus areas, but it's people that have significant colonial ancestors. So people that before the Revolutionary War were active within the colonies. So there are chapters all throughout the Eastern Seaboard. And the things that we focus on genealogy and ancestry knowledge and just understanding, better understanding the colonial ancestors who were originally here, all the people that helped establish this country in the early years. We are focused on historic preservation. That is a huge focus. We're focused on patriotism and promotion of history, just people understanding better American history. So we have a lot of programming. And actually, the NSCDA is one of the largest organizations that owns and maintains and operates historic properties, colonial properties in the country. So we have an incredible collection of properties all over the place that are real gems. So I would say that we've been really focused on preserving properties like this one. So this is really, this was originally the headquarters of the Massachusetts Society. And then until the Society purchased Prescott House, which is on Beacon Hill. And that's the current, what we call the headquarters or the main offices are.
Okay.
But this house has been near and dear to so many people's hearts. And it's been a focus of the Dames for now over 100 years. Some of the exciting projects that have been going on inside are amazing. So most recently, well, we are doing this foundational project, or the DCR is managing that project right now. So they're doing some foundational work to shore up the building, literally, to make sure that it can stay in good shape for generations to come, so everyone can enjoy learning about the history of the property. But then in addition to that, we're doing some really exciting interior work. So for example, we've been repainting and in a historic manner, the parlor and the music room. So that's really an exciting project. We did some paint analysis with a historic conservator who went down several layers of paint, was able to go in and find out what the original colors were. There's also some really beautiful Parisian wallpaper from the 1700s that was considered really the state of interior design at the time. So all of this work is being restored. It's really beautiful. We also have some historic discoveries up on the third floor where we've been restoring the floors on that level and finding a really interesting checkerboard pattern that was originally painted. So you never know what you're going to find when you uncover these layers of paint and things that were happening in the homestead many, many generations ago. It's a really, really fascinating thing to learn. And the dining room was recently restored. It's absolutely beautiful. Mm. The interiors are lovely. And as Paula said, we're going to have fantastic images. So even if you can't go inside the homestead this summer, you'll be able to anticipate what the interiors are. And we're excited. This has been a great opportunity for us to allow the contractors to come in and do that conservation work. So
yeah, another silver lining to the pandemic, right?
Taking right.
advantage of
exactly,
the
yeah. exactly.
In non-pandemic times, would folks normally be able to tour these places inside the house?
Yes, yeah. Paul, yeah, can you tell about what a typical season looks like?
A typical season would be open two Saturdays a month from May to October. Mm-hmm. And people would get between a half hour and 45 minute tour of the house. And we would go up to the first floor and second floor and showing the different areas, the bedrooms. We actually have Ben Franklin's stove in one of the rooms upstairs. And it's, you know, when it's sort of reopened, it's going to be like beautiful because the art, the painting and the restoration is so wonderful, and the floors are shining, and it's absolutely phenomenal how it's going to be.
Yeah.
And again, we're thankful for the City of Quincy for helping us out with these grants. Without them, this work would probably not be done And it's something that Quincy, it's like almost like a secret in Quincy about the Dorothy Quincy Homestead, and would like to bring it, you know, more into the eye of the public to see that. We also are always looking for docents and greeters. Without them, we really couldn't do these tours. If anybody's interested in being a tour guide or a greeter, please come on one of our open houses and introduce yourself, and we'd welcome your help. We really need it. Yes. The other thing we have is the Quincy Homestead, Friends of the Quincy Homestead, which we take donations that go towards running these programs and running the house. And any donations would be greatly appreciated.
And we also have just volunteers that, even if you don't want to be involved in tours per se, we love to have people in the community or surrounding communities become a part of the volunteer core base. So this is a volunteer organization, and we again are operating on donated funds as a nonprofit. And so it's really helpful. It really takes a village to keep the office or keep the whole organization running and making sure that it stays in tip-top shape.
Yeah. Will there be training for volunteers who want to be docents?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. When I now have one of our top tour guides training one of the newly volunteered docents, in fact, they're two gentlemen, and they will mimic each other for a couple of weeks going over the tours. And seeing what's going on in the homestead. It's, you know, we wouldn't let somebody be there by themselves the first time prior to training.
Right. Yeah, that was what I was getting to.
Somebody might have an interest in it, but
is a little leery because they don't.
Absolutely. And we would make sure that they feel comfortable. And it's a group effort. They're never there by themselves.
Sure. If they don't know the answer to a question, they can, somebody else will, right?
Right.
There's enough people around that have been there there during it. We usually end up probably having maybe 12 people there.
Oh, wow.
During an open tour.
Sure.
So people, you know, there are enough people to answer questions. And if somebody doesn't know the questions, they can go to somebody else, because some of these women have been doing it for 20 years. So, I mean, the dedication is unreal.
So one more time, let's just recap what'll be happening. And it's the 15th of May, right, is the big opening day.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So yes, tomorrow is our opening day, 15th of May. And we are really excited to welcome people again, safely and with social distancing. So we're following the City of Quincy guidelines at the moment. So we are asking people to mask up so that people can for the effort of making sure that others feel comfortable around them. And then we are going to have people going around touring with individual docents. So they'll get to go all around the property. They'll literally circle the property, which will be really nice, and get to see the Furnace Brook and come around to the Chariot and see the garden. So it's a really nice way to experience this beautiful historic property.
Yeah,
and the City of Quincy Tourism has actually given us masks to hand out, along with hand sanitizer and sunglasses to hand out tomorrow. So if you don't have a mask or a hand sanitizer, come to the homestead and we'll have them there for you.
Okay, great. And as we can see on the schedule here, there are events on the Saturdays right through September.
Right. June 19th, July 17th, August 21st, and September 18th. So we'll be there.
Great. All right. Anything else we should add?
I don't think so.
I think so. Again, the City of Quincy, thank you.
Thank you so much.
All your grants. Without that support, we wouldn't be where we are today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Appreciate your time, ladies. I hope you have a wonderful season at the Dorothy Quincy Homestead. And we're happy to let folks here in Quincy know about it.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.